well. Wherever you're tuning in from, we give you that welcome indeed. Pray that the Lord will bless you as you're part of our service today. Do remember, after the morning time, there is the meeting around the Lord's table, as we come in His own appointed way to observe the Lord's table together. And we welcome and encourage each one that is saved, knows and loves the Lord, to remain behind for that time together. As we mentioned last week, we will be bringing two new members into our fellowship this morning. Do remember that today is a Building Fund Sunday as well. If you have any gifts towards that, then please leave them in throughout today. This evening, it takes the form of a special testimony meeting. Our brother, the Reverend Michael Patrick, the retired minister from Perth in Australia, will be along to give his testimony of how the Lord saved him and kept him and used him over many years. And we do encourage you and invite you to make that effort to come again this evening to encourage our brother, even with your presence and with your prayers. And also we encourage you to let others know, as you have been doing, keep inviting and encouraging others to come in and to be part of the services even throughout today. Our brother will be along, as I said, to give that testimony. Unfortunately, I won't be here to hear him. We are up in Sandown taking part in their harvest services, so we do appreciate your prayer as we go there. Tomorrow night, then, the children's meeting at 7 p.m., and continue to pray for that work. As the Lord has been blessing, we look for further blessing, and we do pray that the Lord will bless each one that has a part to play in the children's work week by week. And may the Lord even bless the children with salvation, and those that are coming under the sound of His precious word. On Wednesday evening, we meet for the Bible study and for prayer up in the upper room together at 8 p.m. We continue our series in the Valleys of Scripture. And we encourage and exhort each one, young and old alike. It'd be good to see even more of our youth gathering with us to pray, and our older ones as well, as the Lord enables you to be here. Come and spend that time in God's house together. Then as we come towards the harvest weekend, can we mention on Thursday that the doors of the church will be open throughout the day if you want to leave any fruit and vegetables or any decorations in towards it. And then those that are able to come and to help decorate the church after 7 p.m. on Thursday evening, if you come then, please, and do that work. It'll be nice, once again, as we look forward to a full harvest weekend after a couple of years of reduced and less decoration and also the no supper. We're looking forward then to having our harvest weekend. So we asked if you can make any donations towards it, and if you can come and help even to put it all together on Thursday evening, then we certainly do encourage that. And then the harvest weekend itself begins on the Friday night at 8 p.m. with our harvest supper meeting. And the Reverend Julian Patterson, the minister of our Ballymagurney congregation, will be along to minister in God's word. Mr. Stephen Patterson, no relation as far as I'm aware, the son of the Reverend Andrew Patterson, will be along to sing at that meeting. Can we say that there is a sheet still in the front porch? We're thankful to those that have already signed up to bring sandwiches and tray bakes and whatnot, but there is a few gaps still for sandwiches, and if any of the ladies can help with that, then please do sign up after this morning, please. Then on Sunday, next Sunday, the services continue in the harvest weekend, the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and then the morning harvest meeting, the preacher will be the Reverend Peter McIntyre, the minister of our Clocker Valley congregation. And then the 7 p.m. service, the Reverend Gary Goods, the minister from Randallstown, will be along, and Mr. James Gailey from our Resharkin congregation will be singing at that service next Sunday evening. And can we mention as well, we always have a special harvest offering, and normally we have been giving it to missionaries and to those going out to serve the Lord, both in the mainland and further afield. But as a committee this year, we're encouraging you and looking to the Lord even for His help in raising up our church building fund once again. We're wanting to increase that as the Lord enables, and so that is what our harvest offering will be going towards this week and coming. And so if you have any gifts or donations towards it, then we certainly encourage you to leave them in over the Friday and over the Sunday, and those that are in the tax covenant scheme, if you put them in the envelopes with your numbers on, that's certainly much appreciated. And then a couple of other announcements from some of our other churches. Firstly, on behalf of Clocker Valley, the rescheduled reopening of their church hall is now going to be Friday the 21st of October at 8 p.m. And the speaker that evening will be the Reverend David Priestley. And if you can get along to our Clocker Valley church
on Friday the 21st of October, then we encourage you to go and be with our brethren and sisters there in Clocker Valley. Then the rescheduled Dungannon annual ladies meeting is Monday the 24th of October at 8 p.m. And speaker that night will be Mr. Callum Webster. Now, I'm looking at those dates I've wrote down, and I don't think that's right. Because if Friday's the 24th, how could Monday, or if Monday's the 24th, how could Friday be the 21st? Hold on a minute. I am right, haven't I? I am right. That's okay. I'm not infallible. I do make the odd mistake. But Monday the 24th, I'm right, so that's good. Monday the 24th in Dungannon at 8 p.m. is the ladies' meeting. Mr. Callum Webster will be along from the Christian Institute to take that service. And can we mention to the ladies, if you're wishing to go along to it, if you could mention to either myself or to Alex, Dungannon need numbers for catering purposes. And so if you mention to us, if you're wanting to go, so that those numbers can be forwarded. Can we say to all the ladies that are involved in our Monday night children's meetings, if you want to go, then please mention to me, and we will get that meeting covered, that you then are freed up for that evening to go and to be part of that meeting. One final prayer request. It's been brought to us this morning from our Lehigh Valley congregation over in Pennsylvania. Reverend Stephen Hamilton, his wife June, was rushed to hospital throughout the night, and she's got severe abdominal pains and swelling, and they're asking much prayer for our sister June at this time, that the Lord would be near to her and give that help to the doctors and even touch her at this time. Also, please lift your magazines as you're going. These are the new Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. They're in the front porch, and please take your copy as you go. And there are some of the Queen edition of the Vision magazine, those special commemorative ones. There's a few left. Please take them. They're free of charge, and whoever wants them takes them. And first come, first serve. So please do take them as you leave. We're turning now to the hymn books. The hymn number one. The hymn number one. The page is 175. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, and light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. The hymn number one. Let's stand together, please, as we sing. Let's unite together in prayer. Still ourselves in God's presence. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We do acknowledge, O God, that we come only because of Jesus Christ. We can only become because of Him. We thank Thee and praise Thee for the one at Thy right hand. We thank and praise Thee, O God, that He is our Savior. He is our Advocate, even in heaven. We do rejoice in His name, Jesus Christ the Righteous. And Father, we bow before Thee, confessing His name, because His name is above all other names. We thank and we praise Thee for Him. We thank and we praise Thee, O God, this day for salvation. We do acknowledge that Thou art the great God of heaven and of earth. And Thou art a thrice holy God. We acknowledge our sin before Thee. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. No, Father, we acknowledge that we have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God, and we do earnestly pray this day for that fresh cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. O Father, that Thou wilt cleanse us and that Thou wilt fill us. We thank Thee for revealing Thyself to us in Scripture. We thank Thee for who Thou art. Lord, even as we have been singing this morning in our opening praise together, Lord, we do rejoice in the God of heaven and of earth. We thank Thee that He is an unchanging God. We do rejoice that there is no variableness with Him, neither shadow of turning. For Thou art God, and Thou changest not. And Father, therefore we come with that reverence before Thee, not humility, O God. We're not simply coming before a mere man, but we're coming before God. We're coming before the El Shaddai. And Father, we bow before Thee. We pray that Thou wilt be near to us. We confess our need even this day. Lord, even as we seek to worship, as we seek to praise our God in heaven, we do pray that Thou wilt be near and that Thou wilt undertake. Give help, give grace in every aspect of this meeting together. We thank Thee, O God, for another Lord's Day. We thank Thee for another opportunity to be gathered together in Thy house. We thank Thee for the measure of health and strength afforded to each one. We rejoice in this, O God. We pray that Thou wilt bless as we are found in Thy house. We pray that Thou wilt meet every need, even in this time together. Thou knowest the spiritual needs that there are within this congregation. Lord, whether it be that need for that encouragement, that building up once again, that lifting of the eyes onto the hills, O Father, that it will be so this morning. We pray maybe for those, O God, that are cold at heart. Lord, once they walked with Thee, now they've grown cold. Lord, stir within them, warm their hearts as they consider Christ afresh. Lord, we pray for the unsaved. O God, have mercy, we pray Thee. Draw them unto Thyself. Lord, Thou knowest that it's only Thee and Thee alone who can save. Lord, we cannot save, we cannot cure ourselves from that great plague of sin, but rather Christ alone is the answer. Father, we pray that Christ will come. And, O God, will Christ will reign within hearts this day. Lord, we thank Thee for the work already accomplished this morning. We thank Thee for the children that were there under the instruction of Thy word. Bless it to their hearts. O God, may they not simply go home and forget all about what they've learned, but rather that they will consider it, that they will meditate upon it. And, Father, that Thou wilt speak to them. Save the ones that are not saved. And those that are saved, Lord, lead them closer with Thee each and every day. Lord, remember this work. Remember, O God, throughout this day, remember every aspect of the morning time. And then as we come around the Lord's table, Lord, bless in that season together. We remember as well the need for help this evening. Bless Thy servant. Bring him in the power of the Spirit of God. And as he testifies of the grace of God in his life, Father, we pray that Thou wilt speak. We pray that Thou wilt draw in sinners from this area. Draw in family members, O God. Give a desire to be here. Lord, give a desire to hear the word of God even as it comes forth tonight. Lord, bless, we pray Thee. Lord, remember those that aren't with us today. We're mindful of them. Remember our elderly, O God, that no longer can join with us. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy hand upon them. We pray that Thou will continue to be near and continue, O God, to meet them at the very point of their need. Remember those that are away at this time on holiday, Lord, refresh them. Bring them back, O God, even soon, safely. And Lord, watch over them. Remember those that can't be with us. Lord, we just pray that Thou will touch them and meet them at the very point of their need, whatever that need is, whether it be a physical, spiritual, mental. O God, touch and just intervene. Lord, we cast it all upon Thee. Lord, Thou art the one that we can turn to. For, O God, beside Thee there is none else. Lord, be near, be mindful to Thy people this day. Be mindful to this denomination. Oh, for the presence of God to come in such a real way to our churches. For the Spirit of God to infill Thy preachers once again. To infill, O God, each member of this church and of this denomination. To fill us with the Holy Ghost. To give us spiritual boldness in these days in which we live. Oh, Father, the day is dark, but the light of the gospel still shines. Oh, God, save souls. Lord, may the flickers of gospel light turn into great flames. May it shine into the darkened corners of our cities, of our towns, and of our villages. Oh, Father, send us a revival, I pray Thee. Lord, bless us now, we pray. Watch over us in our time together. Presence Thyself amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 335, the hymn 335, the page is 312. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. The hymn 335. Let's stand together again, please, as we sing. We return now to the book of Proverbs in the chapter 2. So we continue together to read through this book. Proverbs chapter 2. We commence reading at the verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 2, the verse 12. The word of God says, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. As we lift our tithes and offerings, we're going to sing together the hymn 213. The hymn 213, the page is 262. "Was it for me alone? The Saviour left His glorious throne, the dazzling splendours of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die." 213, as the tithes and offerings are lifted, we remain seated as we sing the hymn together.
Was it
Good singing. Appreciate all of the help this morning. None of them are solos. Turning now to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. Speaking to a minister just the other day, we're talking about this book. He had studied it in his church. And he did 13 weeks on it. And he said to me, he says, I regret it. He says, I went too quick. And I says, well, I'm not going quick. He says, we're week 24, I think it is. And he says, it's a wonderful book. I certainly can concur with that. He says, I wish I spent longer. We're just looking at two verses this morning. Verse 11 and verse 12 of Ruth chapter 4. You remember Boaz is at the gate. His last words of verse 10, he said to the people that were gathered, ye are witnesses this day. Verse 11, all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah. Of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. We've entitled the message this morning, A Bethlehemite Blessing. A Bethlehemite Blessing. Let's just still ourselves. Look to the Lord for his help. And that the Lord would speak to our hearts. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for the words of the hymn that we've just been singing together. Hymn, O God, that brings us even to consider the redemption of our souls by Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the penalty that was paid in full. We thank thee for that the debt is cleared, that Christ has fulfilled. And Christ has won us and purchased us for himself. Oh, Father, bless us once again now as we come to thy word. Lord, we do pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray for power. We pray, oh God, that the preaching will come forth with power from the Holy Ghost. Thou wilt speak to every heart. Thou wilt, oh God, work and do that which only thou canst do. And in everything, glorify thy Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. At the gate in Bethlehem, redemption has been accomplished. Boaz, having went to the gate that very first thing of that morning, he has fulfilled all that he was required to do. As a kinsman redeemer, he purchased Ruth's redemption. He overcame every single obstacle. He fulfilled every part of the law. The debt that was owed has been paid. The law was satisfied. All 10 of the elders that were encouraged to sit down as the witnesses, as the legal representatives of the day, all 10 of those elders are happy. You can see it even in those words at the end, or at the beginning of verse 11, they said, we are witnesses. There's not one condemnation has been raised. There's not one qualification has been needed to be given. Every elder that has been seated there and has watched the transaction has been satisfied that the law has been kept. And for Ruth, well, she's sitting waiting in the house. She trusted Boaz. And Boaz promised her, she believed him whenever he said, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Boaz gave his word to Ruth. Ruth trusted in that word. Ruth believed in her Redeemer. And she sat and now she waited for her redemption. She waited for that final act of redemption indeed when Boaz would come. Boaz would take her unto his own house. That's all that she was waiting for. What a picture that is of the Church of Jesus Christ. Right now, each one that is saved, we are waiting. We are waiting this morning for the final act of redemption. We are waiting for our Lord and Savior to come, for our kinsman Redeemer to return, to gather his people unto himself, to bring his people to his house. We are waiting either until the Lord calls us home or the Lord comes to take us home. One act of redemption still has to be completed. And we, like Ruth, are waiting for it. Like Ruth, we wait earnestly. Like Ruth, we wait expectantly. We look forward to that time when the Lord returns. We look forward to that time when the Lord calls us. We know exactly how blessed it will be. We have a picture within the book of Revelation. We have all of the different scriptures, all of the promises, the encouragements that are brought to us. We look forward even to that beautiful passage, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It's just a little phrase. But my, what an expectation it is. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're looking forward to that. We can say with John the Apostle in Revelation 22 and 20, the final prayer indeed recorded in all of Scripture, he says, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the final prayer you find in all of the Scriptures as recorded for us. That prayer from John the Apostle, even so come, Lord Jesus. You look around today at the world. Look at all of the sin, the depravity. You see the wickedness. Surely we can say those words, even so come, Lord Jesus. Yea, come quickly. But before Boaz comes and takes Ruth to be his wife, we have these verses, verse 11 and verse 12, given to us. It's a record of the response that is given to the great transaction. Everything has been done lawfully and legally. There's no doubt whatsoever that Boaz has redeemed Ruth unto himself. He has paid the debt. He has cleared it all. And at that gate, even though it's early in the morning, Boaz sat down with the one man. Then he brought round the 10 other elders. But by this stage, as that sandal has been plucked off the foot and handed over to signify the deal has been done, a great crowd has now gathered. Everyone in Bethlehem has come to the gate. Whether they were walking in or ready in Bethlehem, they have come to that place. And they're watching. And they're listening. And Boaz turns to them all and he says, ye are witnesses. The response comes back, we are. But then what follows is a blessing from the people. A Bethlehemite blessing to Ruth and to Boaz. A prayer to God for them. A prayer to God as they will start their married life together. A prayer to God that the Lord would bless in every aspect of it. Give them a wonderful marriage. Give them a wonderful family. But you know, as you look at those two verses, there is much spiritual application, much gospel to be gleaned from it. I want to leave it with you this morning under two simple headings. Firstly, in these verses 11 and 12, the blessing presents us with grace. The blessing presents us with grace. The opening words of verse 11, it says, the Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah. You know, it's interesting now as Ruth has been redeemed. No longer is she Ruth the Moabitess. No longer is she Ruth the widow. Now this lady is Ruth, the wife of Boaz. Her standing within the community has changed. How they will refer to her going forward is now completely different. From this moment onwards, she is no longer detached from Boaz. Now she is with Boaz in every sentence. Now she is with Boaz in every name. Boaz and Ruth are together. And as they take these two individuals, both Boaz and Ruth, and as they bring forth this blessing, they begin, and you'll notice that they don't begin with Boaz, they begin with Ruth. Ruth gets the first part of the blessing. And as the blessing comes forward, they say in that verse, May the house make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah. Rachel and Leah were the two wives of Jacob. Both of them were heathen. Both of them were from a heathen country. Both of them were children of Laban. They were from Rebekah's land. Both of them were outside of the covenant, and yet both of them were brought in by Jacob. Both of them from a wild past, from an awful, sinful country and nation. And yet both of them were used to bring the children of Israel into their place. And you notice that Rachel is mentioned first. Now, whenever you consider in the book of Genesis, there are two sisters. Leah's the oldest. Leah's also the first to marry Jacob. Leah's also the one who will have the most children. Whenever you add all of the 12 sons of Jacob together, Leah has 6 of them herself. Rachel will only have 2. And yet when you come to this passage and you come to this blessing, it is Rachel who is put first. Even though the children of Bethlehem descend from Judah, Judah's mother was Leah. There should be no connection where they are saying Rachel comes first. But why does she? Well, I believe there are 2 reasons. Firstly, the love of Jacob. Out of those 2 women, Leah and Rachel, Jacob loved Rachel. Jacob loved her with an unending love. From that moment that he came into the house, from that moment that he was brought into that family, he worked and he strived for Rachel. He made the agreement with her father. He says, I will work 7 years for Rachel's hand in marriage. And he worked those 7 years, and at the wedding time, he was presented with Leah. And Laban said to him, the eldest has to get married first. And he says, well then I will work another 7 years. 14 years he worked for Rachel. Even though the disappointment was there at the first wedding, he didn't get the bride that he was promised. He didn't get the bride that he expected. And yet his love for her never changed. Rachel had his heart. Rachel had that special place. Didn't matter that Leah was older. It didn't matter that Leah had more years of marriage with him. It didn't matter that Leah had more children with him. Rachel was loved by Jacob. That's what it says, Genesis 29:18. Jacob loved Rachel. He had set his love upon her. His heart was for her. His love for her was unquenchable. And what you have within that simple phrase, and what you have within that passage, and what you have within that picture of Jacob and Rachel is the love that Christ has for us. Because the love of God is so strong that it even goes so far in John 3:16 that God so loved. God's love for his people is unquenchable. God's love for his people is an everlasting love, an unchangeable love. An undeniable love. An undeserved love. There's not one of us can stand up today and say, the Lord should love me. There's not one can stand up today and say, the Lord loves me because of this. God loved us before we were ever formed. God loved us from all eternity past. God knew exactly that we, each one of us, would be sinners falling short of the glory of God. And yet God set his love upon us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love that Jacob had for Rachel never changed. Regardless of the obstacles. Regardless of the indifferences. He loved her. But you know, I believe there's a second reason why they put Rachel first. And it's God's power over the womb. Because they say in this verse, make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah. know, the life and the history of Rachel is a testimony of God's power and control. There was a time in the marriage between Jacob and Rachel when Rachel was barren. God had shut her womb. She saw Leah having all of her children. Rachel couldn't have any. Then the two concubines that Jacob would take, one of Leah's and one of Rachel's, both of them brought forth children. Still, Rachel was barren. Didn't matter how much she longed for a child. Didn't matter the effort made by both her and Jacob. Her womb was shut. But God was the one who had the power. He had the power to close the womb, and he had the power to open it. And the Lord opened her womb, and she had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. You know, this morning is a very clear message for each and every one of us in terms of spiritual birth. Not one of us can bring spiritual birth. Just as Rachel couldn't have a child without the Lord opening her womb, so too, not one individual, whether it be in your family or in your friends, can ever be born again without the Lord doing it. You'll never save yourself. You'll never prosper yourself spiritually to the point where God accepts you. You'll never be born again unless the Lord does it. If the Lord does not open the heart, just like he did for Lydia in Acts 16, if the Lord does not open the heart, your heart's shut. If the Lord does not enter in and bring you from death unto life, you remain dead in your trespasses and in your sins. You cannot save yourself. It's only God's power that can do that. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, that can do that to everyone that believeth. So I say to each one this morning, do not simply try and save yourself, but rather trust in the one who can. Trust in the one this morning who can bring you from death unto life. Trust in the one today who died upon the cross. No, grace is what you need. That grace is only found in Jesus Christ. You know, these people in Bethlehem, as they blessed the marriage of Boaz and Ruth, they presented the work of grace. Their memories, their minds are upon that time in Jacob and Rachel and Leah's life. Every single part of it, as we've sought to bring this morning, it brings us to grace. My friend, today, even as you think of these words, they're words of blessing. You'll not find any blessing outside of Christ. You'll not find any blessing outside of the grace of God. You know, whenever you look into the grace of God, we've mentioned it before, we've looked at it before, there's two different types of grace. Within the grace of God, there's common grace. That's afforded to each and to every one. The common grace to survive another day. The common grace to be up to be about. The common grace to be able to work. The common grace not to go out and commit murder. Not to go out and to kill someone. Not to go out and attack someone. The grace of God restrains an individual from doing that. There's too many today settled just for common grace. There's too many today settled just for the fact that they get up, they get out, they get working, they get money. They say that's enough. Thankful for that. I hear individuals and they say, oh, it's just, I'm so thankful to be up another day. I'm so thankful for my health. Some people even pray to God and say, thank you for making me healthy. They're never saved in their life. And they'll thank the Lord and they'll even get down on their knees at the side of their bed and they say, thank you for health. Thank you for family. All of the common grace, all of the different aspects of common grace, they're thankful for every single one of them. And they stop there. What about special grace? What about saving grace? See, my friend, common grace won't get you to heaven. Common grace won't unite you with Christ. Common grace won't bring you into fellowship with him. If you want to be united with Jesus Christ, there must be saving grace. If you want to be united and have that fellowship, have that union, have that marriage with Christ, as Christ the bridegroom and his church the bride, if you want to be united into the family of God, there must be saving grace in your life. You cannot survive and you will not come to Christ with that common grace. There must be saving grace. And that blessing of the Bethlehemites presented the people, presented Boaz and Ruth with the grace of God. But then secondly and finally, second half of verse 11 and then verse 12, the blessing prays for growth. The blessing prays for growth. They say at the end of verse 11, "Do thou worthily in Ephratah be famous in Bethlehem. Let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." Now the people desire for this new household to prosper. The Hebrew word in verse 11 for worthily is the Hebrew word gehiel. We've already noticed it twice in the book of Ruth. Because gehiel is found in chapter 2, the verse 1, where it's translated wealth, speaking of Boaz. It's also the word used in chapter 3 and verse 11 for Ruth, whenever she's described as virtuous. And so the same word that's been used to describe Boaz's wealth and Ruth's virtue is now bringing the two of them together and saying, "May the Lord bless them and make them worthy within Bethlehem and within Ephratah." There's that desire to unite them as the two become one, that they would grow in fame, that they would grow in greatness. That redeeming of Ruth by Boaz would not be forgotten. That this couple going forward would not simply be a memory and then forgotten about altogether in the generations to come, but rather that the name of Boaz and the transaction of redemption for Ruth and the bringing together of Ruth and Boaz in marriage, that it would live on. And on, and never be forgotten. We mentioned it the other week. The other man that Boaz sat down with, the one who was closer, the one who had the right to redeem, we've never learnt his name. We know nothing about him. But yet the prayer in Bethlehem from these couple, or for this couple as they begin, from all of the people of Bethlehem that have brought them together, is that they will grow in worth and in fame, that the Lord will bless them. You know, that prayer has been answered for Boaz and for Ruth. Their name's never been forgotten. It's recorded in Scripture in the Old Testament. And even you think of it, Boaz's name and how Boaz is referred to the kinsman redeemer. His name was already a famous name in Bethlehem. He's one of the greats. Even as we were first introduced to Boaz in this book, he is a mighty man of wealth. And yet by the end of the book, he's just growing and growing, and the elevation of name and of character. Again, you have a type of Christ. Because the name of Christ is highly exalted. That's what it says in Philippians 2, the verse 9. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The name of Christ is high above all. And this couple, as they begin their married life, they're prayed over and they're prayed for. They're prayed for growth and fame. They're also prayed for growth and family, the verse 12. Tells us, "Let thy house be like the house of Phares." You know the story of Phares and Tamar and Judah? It's a remarkable one. Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law. She tricked her father-in-law into lying with her. from that interaction between the two came Phares and his twin brother. It was a sin according to the law which was punishable by death. Incest is one that was punishable by death. No family member should lie with another. Tamar tricked her father-in-law. And the law stated she must die. But yet where sin abounded, grace did yet more abound. Grace overcame the law. For Phares was spared, so was his mother. And from Phares, from the children, the descendants of Phares, there was great growth numerically in all of Israel. You know, Judah had 5 sons altogether. Benjamin had 10. And yet Judah, from his 5 sons, would have the greatest tribe in all of Israel numerically. Benjamin would have the smallest. And out of all of Judah's sons, he only had the 5. Out of the 5 sons, and his twin brother was named Sarah, Phares' size numerically was 3 times greater than Sarah's. For every one of Sarah's descendants, Phares would have 3 times that. And yet the basis, the beginning, was sin and wickedness. That's why the prayer goes up. Make Boaz like his forefather Phares. Because when you look at the descendants, you look at the historical line, the genealogy, Phares will bring you down to Boaz. Boaz will bring you down to David. David will bring you down to Christ. It comes through that line. Full grace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting too, whenever you think of the covenant. The covenant of grace is first promised in Genesis 3 and 15. Covenantal promise given to Adam. Then it was given again to Noah, that through Noah's descendants, God's covenant would come. Then it was given and revealed to Abraham, Genesis 17 and 2, I will make my covenant between thee, me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. From Abraham it comes down to Jacob. From Jacob it comes down to Judah. And in Jacob's deathbed, he says, Genesis 49 and 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And do you know every family in Judah? Do you know why they're praying that Boaz would have many children? Because every family in Judah longed and hoped for the Messiah. Because they knew the words of Jacob to Judah. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver until Shiloh come. In other words, until the coming of Christ. It's all for Judah. It's through Judah's line the King of Kings will come. And so every descendant, including Phares and all of his children, and right down to Boaz, the prayer is this: Lord, bring forth Christ. Father in heaven, we long for our Savior. And not one of them knew who it would be, and not one of them knew when he would come. But the promise was there, until Christ comes, the scepter's in Judah. And so each one of them as a family was brought together, as a couple were united in marriage. The prayer was given over them in Judah for all of the children of Judah, both in Bethlehem and all the surrounding area. Lord, bring forth many children. Because we want our Savior. As I said, you go to then Matthew 1 and 3. Tells us Judah begot Phares. Phares begot Esrom. Verse 5, Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And you come right down then Matthew 1. You come to Joseph. And then you come to Christ. Christ. you know, at that time in Bethlehem, as they give their blessings, every marriage, every family as it began, every child, every son that was born, we want Christ. Do you remember in the New Testament whenever Joseph and Mary took Christ to the temple? What was Simeon doing? Waiting for the consolation of Israel. That old man in the temple, whenever he heard, whenever he saw this couple coming in with their newborn baby, what did he do? He ran over. He looked upon Christ. And he said, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen salvation." Even here, as this couple was beginning their marriage together, little did all of the people in Bethlehem know as they gave this blessing, little did they know that through Boaz, the old man, taking Ruth, the widow, the prayer would be answered because Christ would come. The one who would enter the world as a babe, laid in a manger. The one who was born to die, to hang upon that cruel cross, to shed his blood for your sin and for mine. Let me ask the question very simply as I close. Do you know him? Is he your Savior today? These people longed for Christ. They prayed for it in every family. Prosper them. Give them sons. That either the son might be the Savior or it might be a generation closer. We long for our Messiah. Do you have that longing today in your heart? Oh, if you're not saved, I pray that the Lord will draw you to himself. Pray that the Lord have mercy, that he will even draw you, open your heart, bring you from death to life. We're going to sing a hymn together. As we're singing the hymn, I'll go to the door for those that can't stay for communion. I encourage each one that's saved, do remain behind and partake together. 480. The hymn 480, the page 369. Even as we prepare our minds and our hearts, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, poor contempt on all my pride. Let's stand together, please, as we sing.